Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 353 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
This episode, we'd like to thank co-producer, brand new supporter on Patreon, Alistair H. Thank you so much, Alistair, for this very special support. And if you are curious as to what we mean by co-producer and how you could become one and what's this all about, stay tuned to the end. We will talk a little bit more about how you can find out more.
Ginger.
Summer.
Are you watching The Boys?
No.
At all?
Is it on Amazon?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not watching it. Is it like in season two?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. So it's one of the...
You can totally catch up. And right now they're releasing them weekly.
Not extensions. What do you call it? The thing... Activations. Did we go to the... Did we see the activation at Comic-Con last year?
It was next to the Expanse.
The one we got to? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And...
We had like the free... Sorry, I'm so stinking. I'm in my 40s and I'm so stinking impressed by getting free Carl's Jr. vegetarian burgers. That's like, that was the best part. And then you went back and got another one, or I got one. I guess.
You did. Well, I couldn't eat a whole one, so I was going to just split it with you, and I got the veggie one, so you'd split it with me.
No, I know that, but it wasn't that we could or couldn't eat it. I think I wasn't hungry either. I got it because it was free and we didn't want it to go to waste, but then we'd already talked about this in that Redux, but... And yeah, not, I mean, I didn't get it to give it away, but because with however we got in, we only had like, not a raffle ticket, but something like that. We only had, they gave away one per person, right? And so you got one and we split it. And yeah, I got mine and ended up giving it away to someone who was helpful to us. But anyway, it's such, like, that's like the little kid in me. I'll never not remember and get a big stupid grin on my face.
Free food truck.
Well, it's not just food truck. It was a vegetarian, which it means a lot. It means a lot. I think
they had real meat too. It wasn't that it was just a vegetarian Carl's Jr.
No.
That's not what it was.
But they had options. That was very,
I mean,
awesome.
They were limited. It was like you got.
They had a vegetarian option. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was like what? The cheeseburger and a Beyond Burger.
Yes.
Two different.
With cheese. Oh, yeah. So good. And Summer deigned to split a veggie burger with me.
Hey. I like Beyond Burgers.
They're good, aren't they?
They're not bad. I mean, I don't think they're not any better for you. Like, that's the thing that makes me like a little bit crazy about it. Cause it's like, usually you think I'm going to try to eat more vegetarian things cause they're going to be better for me. This is not better for you. It's got just as much fat and calories as like regular meat.
I don't know about fat. It definitely has protein and definitely has calories.
It does.
Beyond Burger?
Oh, yeah. If you look at it, they are just as many calories as a regular burger.
Oh, I said calories. Yeah. I just don't know about fat because I know it has zero cholesterol because it's plant-based. But
yeah, but plant-based fat
is not cholesterol, though.
That's what I'm saying.
It has
plant-based fat. And
of course it does.
I'm just saying there's way more stuff in there than I anticipated. And that's the only problem I have with... fake things is they're fake, which means they have to put a lot of things in it to make it
actually
taste
if
like
I'm not mistaken
generally.
It's predominantly pea protein protein isolate.
That doesn't even
something
sound
like
good.
I understand that. I'm just saying there's actually not a lot of nasty stuff in it. You're not saying it's nasty. I know that. But there's not a lot of fake stuff.
You're right. But when I make a burger or get a burger, I'm pretty confident I can just say, what's in that?
It's meat.
Meat. Cow. Anyway, The Boys. So you're not watching.
No. But hold on real quick because I Googled it. They have pea. The protein is pea, mung bean, faba bean, brown rice. The fats are cocoa butter, coconut oil, and expeller pressed canola oil.
And the blood color is beets.
It's beet juice extract, apple extract, and natural flavors. And then minerals, calcium, iron, salt, potassium chloride. And then our carbs. The carbs is potato starch and methyl cellulose, a plant fiber derivative. So also sunflower, lecithin, calcium, alginate, plant-based casing material made with seaweed and yeast extract. So anyway, it's, yeah, to, those are.
Yeah, but what's the calorie breakdown?
Oh, well, that's
what's your percentages?
Question. Let me see.
I'm not kidding. The last time I looked at it, these things were like, I was like, I should actually.
Oh, it's not going to be like 20 calories or anything. Nutrition facts. For one patty, it's 260 calories, mm-hmm. which is, you know, especially if you don't do bread or something, if you do like a, you know, a lettuce wrap or something, you know, a meal, a meal around.
Break down those calories.
I will. Around 250 to 350 is a normal size meal. It's not a bad thing. So the calories are not necessarily bad. Okay. So the fat is 18 grams.
Exactly. That's not nothing.
Zero. No, I said I never said anything was nothing. The cholesterol is zero. Sodium is 350 milligrams. So it's actually, well, I don't know about compared to beef because I don't know the numbers about beef, but it's pretty low carb. It's got five grams of carb. That's not bad if you're on low carb. And then protein, this is where it does really well. It's 20 grams of protein. Now, meat, maybe more. I don't know. And it would be interesting to see a side by side with a beef burger and that. But anyway, okay. We're exiting beyond meat, beyond burger, and we're going into.
We never intended to enter that. That was just, that's true. You know, that's not where I was.
I know.
That's not where I was leading this conversation.
I have not seen The Boys.
Okay. I'm only mentioning it. And this is the only reason we ever mention other shows on this show is that.
There's some kind of tangential something.
We are, and it could be because, you know, Sony had a hand in The Boys, and it could be that, you know, Chris Parnell used to be with Sony, and he also was part of the Outlander fandom for, not fandom, but, you know, production for a while. But they reference Outlander, and more than reference, they show a snippet of Outlander, like Mother's Milk, who is this big, tough African-American I hate superheroes kind of guy, is sitting there watching Outlander on his like tablet or laptop or something. And it's the scene where she's like, on your feet, soldier. And they walk in and they're like, what are you watching? And he goes, oh. It's called Eat My D-. So I'm like, I think from now on, we should call Outlander Eat My D-, and Ginger won't go for it. I said, we should at least for 1 week change the name of our podcast to Welcome to the Eat My D- podcast. And she said, no. So I tried, people. I try to be topical and funny and humorous, and Ginger just shuts me down.
I didn't shut you down.
You did. Every text you said was nope, 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 nope.
No, and I started with, nope. Hold on. What was the first one? I said, over my dead body. So it was a little bit more than nope.
But to be fair, over my dead body was when she had no idea what I was talking about. And she was like, I don't understand. And then when I explained it, she was like, nope, nope.
I knew what you were talking about as far as what you wanted to do. I had no issue, not issue.
Context.
I had no,
had no
frame
context.
Of reference. Correct.
No, so I know went, you had no context.
It went from over my dead body to no, yeah. Which is the same, but not as strong.
Nope.
I think it's funny. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pooping on the funny. It's just.
And I was like, you know, we could even just change our handle for like a couple of hours. And she's like, no, we can't. We'll lose it. And I was like, that's not how it works. I know people that change their little handles, not their at handle, but they change their display name like daily. And it's never a problem. And I'm like, we could just change it. No one else is. I mean, anyone could change their handle to the Outlander podcast and have it show up as the Outlander podcast. But it wouldn't. But it's not the at. So if you see somebody whose handle says the Outlander podcast and it's not at Outlander pod, it's not us. But that's my point, is that we could have just changed the handle, the display name, to the Eat My Dick podcast, and it would have been funny and topical. But no, she said no. Oh, we got a question this week.
Oh, we did?
We did. It came, I think it came through one of our Patreon supporters. And they had asked about the text being different, the published text being different than what Davina is reading in her audiobooks. And they asked if we had heard anything different. They said that A Breath of Snow and Ashes was significantly different than the book.
Oh, like, this is Alistair H. He's one of our co-producers. Okay. One of our newer co-producers. Yes. Thank you, Alistair. Okay. Should I read the question?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully we can share this. Alistair H. I will not give the full name. Have you noticed discrepancies between the audiobooks and the text of the Outlander novels? I first started listening and reading simultaneously with The Fiery Cross. There are several inconsistencies in that book. They often occur where there is Gaelic in the text, but the Gaelic does not appear in audio, as though Davina Porter is reading a text prepared before the Gaelic is filled in. Then in A Breath of Snow and Ashes, there there are many, many more discrepancies. In that book, From the Nature of the Errors, it seems that sometimes Davina is reading from a text that must be different from the published text, and more rarely she misreads something.
I have personally never done a read and listen at the same time. And as this is my second reading.
Summer's second.
My second.
Since 1990. Well, no, not in 1990s. It only came out in 2000 something. So right. You have a little bit of grace.
So
there.
I would say the last 2 to 3 books that she has put out, I have exclusively listened to the audio versions.
Yeah.
So I haven't actually seen the text. But that would be fun. I mean, that would be maybe the next time we go through, we do that. But I honestly don't have time.
Hold on. What did you just say? The next time we go through?
Yeah, the next time I read them. The next time I read them.
Oh, okay. You said we, reading. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, you can do it too. I'm inviting you to join me, but just not for the podcast.
I thought what you were implying was, okay, we're doing a read-along now, right? With all the all 8 books, 10, however many we get. And then I thought you meant when we start our next round, I was like,
no.
Fuck you, Summer.
No.
I can't do it anymore.
No. I mean, personally, as a personal project.
Got it. Yeah, that's on you. I want you to come back and tell me all about it.
Well, my point being is that currently I don't have time
to sit and
listen
that.
To Davina as much as I'd love listening to Davina, just because when I get rushed and hurried and prepping for the week, I don't always have 2 hours to listen to 14 pages. Because she is a very gifted reader and she has, you know, dramatic pauses and she, you know, reads clearly so you can understand her. So it just takes a lot longer to listen to it than it is to physically read the text. So
yeah, because you can kind of speed read or rage read as you do and just kind of get through it kind of quickly. And I absolutely will. Even if I do prefer audiobooks, but I will say I have had trouble. I still listen to stuff, okay? Less than I used to. And a big part of that, and you actually said this yesterday when we were texting each other. Most of the time that I had to listen to stuff, and I enjoyed it immensely, was on my commute. Mm-hmm. And now that we're working from home.
Now that we're never in the car.
The commute, well, pretty much. And it's almost like not worse. I do start things when I'm in the car, but then I drive like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And I'm like, well, that was like 3 paragraphs. So, I mean, anyway, yeah. So I have to find, so now I'm trying to find spaces or chances to listen to books that I'm getting or to even to, I'm so far behind on some of the podcasts I listen to. It's kind of embarrassing as a podcast. It's kind of embarrassing. So I have to find time. I can listen, but I don't want to sit and listen and do nothing, right? If I'm driving, that's great. I will listen to it while doing dishes or listen to it while cleaning. Absolutely. But it's something that I cannot do and do nothing else. Whereas if I'm reading, absolutely. I don't want to do anything else, right? Obviously you can't. You have to sit and hold this thing.
And now, on to our read-along. This week, we will be continuing our A Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along with Chapter 20, entitled
Des cadeaux dangereux.
Well, no.
I mean, that is the French translation.
Yeah, well, I'm not here for that. That's not why I have a part in this podcast.
It is not. It's the comic relief. We take turns.
Mm-mm. Chapter 20, entitled Dangerous Gifts. This chapter went on.
Dude.
It went on so much longer than I – because there were just, you know, you
so
read
many
a bunch
side
of
tales.
Thank you. It's like so many.
Oh, but then this happened. Oh, but remember that thing 10 years ago? This happened.
But usually her chapters are so focused. Like, this is the specific thing. This is the specific thing. And then we're going to talk about this. And this one kind of meandered. Like, it just kind of
– a little bit.
It just kind of kept going.
It hit a lot of different notes. I was like, wait, are we going here? Oh, okay. We're going here? Oh, okay, we're going here.
I was convinced that this chapter was going to be over when they were done talking about the vitriol or whatever the stuff is called for the ether. Oh, I thought that was the dangerous gift and that was going to be it. And then all of a sudden Sequoia shows up with a bag full of bones. And then that was kind of a dangerous gift because who gives you a bag of bones?
Stop stealing the chapter.
That is a terrible offering. I don't want anyone to show up at my house and be like, hey, could you bury this for me?
No. After.
I guess he's assuming that they're that kind of friends, that they're going to help him hide the body.
So after the haymaking and the news that McD brings with him, the next morning, bright and shiny, Jamie and Ian take a quick trip. And by quick, we mean a few days. It ain't quick. A quick trip.
I mean, for that time period, that is pretty quick.
Maybe.
Because the last time they went to visit Indians, weren't they gone for like 6 months?
Oh, no. It was weeks, I think. Jamie and Ian take a quick trip to see Bird Who Sings in the Morning, and the Major leaves too. So Claire is left with Bobby Higgins, and Claire was dying to unwrap all the gifts that he'd brought with him from Virginia, from Lord John. But she hadn't had time because of all the bushy that was going on at their place. I did not make a list of these things, but it was like the red sow. We have a red sow now, by the way.
Not red.
The white sow was almost eating. There's a whole list of stuff that Diana gave us. So like the ad sow. The white sow almost ate ad sow. A number of things happened. It was a lot. And so it was a week before she had time to even unpack a letter. And I wrote, I mean, does it take a lot of time and effort to lift out a piece of paper, Claire?
I mean, but is it maybe? But did you see her list of things?
Yeah, like, it was a lot.
There was a goat with an infected teat. Strange green mold that had gotten the cheese, like her cheese went bad. The completion of the much needed summer kitchen. And then a stern conversation with the Beardsleys regarding the treatment of guests, among other things. Like, it was a lot. It was a lot.
It was a lot of stuff. And we weren't there. So, and then she opens that letter and I wrote letter chapter. No, it's not. It's a letter paragraph or two. We get another date. So thanks, DG. It's September 4th, 1773. But remember, this is when it was written. It could have taken a month or two or whatever for it to actually get to them. We don't have a date for where we're at or when we're at right now. And this letter is to Claire, not to Jamie. And the gift that he has sent, it's oil of vitriol, yo. It comes from England. And Brianna had sent some drawings of the distilling apparatus that Claire had requested, and Lord John got someone to make one. Well, three, actually, in case there were, you know, oopsies and mess-ups and all that.
Breakage.
Yes. And then John closes and says, thank you, and then says, P.S. Because who's Lord John without a P.S., right?
You know what I love? I love that they found a glassmaker who was a good glassmaker. No, because like there could have been a guy, they could have brought those to him and he could have been like, I don't know how to make that. But this guy was like, challenge accepted.
Yes. So, P.S. I was trying to keep my curiosity out of your biz, but I can't restrain myself. What the F are you going to do with these items? That was his P.S.
He's going to have to wait a while to get his response.
That is true. So she finally unpacks everything after the letter, and she puts it's oil of vitriol that was already told to us in my little description of Lord John's letter, and she puts the EVOO onto a high shelf to protect it.
It's not extra virgin olive oil.
I know, but that was funny, and I'm gonna call it that.
Was it?
I thought it was funny. So Bobby is freaked when he learns that it's oil of vitriol because he'd seen a girl once in London that had who had EVOO thrown on our face, and that was like acid, yo. So what was that distilling apparatus that had been made? Quote, a globe of glass, this is Claire's quote, the size of my head, blown to perfect symmetry and lacking even a hint of a bubble, unquote. So she'll need someone to make her a support for it. It's big. But as Claire is waxing on about her new
toy, easier to make things bigger than smaller.
And smaller.
Could you imagine doing something the first time and being like, and do it in micro, please.
But as Claire is waxing on about her new toy, Bobby's attention is gone. Of course, it's Lizzie. He sees her outside the window. She's churning butter and Manfred McGillivray, her betrothed, is there. Claire is having deep thoughts and wonderings.
I feel like this should be included so there could be like a sexy butter churning scene, like slow-mo butter churning.
Claire is having deep thoughts and wonderings about just how serious or deep Bobby's infatuation with Lizzie is. And then she sees Ian. So that means Jamie is back. and he brought some of the Cherokee with him. Outside, quote, Lizzie had abandoned her churn to poor Manfred, who was turning the crank with an air of obvious resentment as she went laughing off in the direction of the stable with Ian, unquote. We can see where her priorities are. Ian, then Manfred, then maybe Bobby, who knows? Well, remember the night before, or now it's more than a week before, but at that haymaking, when Jamie asked Ian to go, you know, split up Lizzie and Bobby, he took his role seriously. He like took down his hair, he fluffed it out. He was gonna make an impression. So it's kind of Ian's fault too. It's a little bit Ian's fault. She introduces Jamie to Mr. Ether. And Jamie tells Claire there's a young woman with the Cherokee who'd come for her to tend her. And then Jamie tells Mrs. Bug that they'd be feeding 6 extra guests for supper. Jamie really wants to have one off with Mrs. Fraser, but there's just not time.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about his balls.
There are usually in most chapters.
Because they're fit to bursting.
Now to her medicines. The Cherokee woman had a toothache. She needs whiskey since to help dull any pain at least a little bit, since the ether is not quite yet ready.
It's not ether yet.
No, exactly. That's why it's not ready.
I'm like, ready? She hasn't even started.
So Diana tells us of one Mr. Wolverhampton who'd tried to even out an accidental amputation by chopping off the rest of a foot digit himself. So that's a toe, by the way. He was brought by a neighbor to the ridge, but when Claire was doctoring him, he wouldn't stop it with a whiskey, hence she was out of it. So Jamie and Ian had to go to the whiskey spring to get more to help, so she could help do Mouse's tooth doctoring. The toothache seems to have been caused by blunt trauma. She sends Bobby out to get her a file, and this, like, my stomach, this is the first time my stomach turned. Like, I don't do teeth anyway, but...
I was just imagining the incredible Dr. Pohl filing horse's teeth.
Even that is hard to watch. I can watch a lot of something. I mean, it doesn't hurt them, I understand, because it's not an exposed root or anything. It's like having a toenail or a nail in your mouth, basically.
Yeah.
Be filed. But it might be awkward, but it's not going to hurt. But still, have this. Oh, I can't, because it's her tooth. And it's a big file in a small mouth. And she's not a small woman as far as she's skinny. But she's not a big woman either as far as being, you know, Brianna big. So it's still a big file for her mouth. And the thought of someone filing my teeth while I'm aware of it makes me, like, if I'm awake for it, makes me think of nails on a chalkboard. That's what it just makes me think of. Ugh. Then another visitor. So at this point, Summer, were you surprised that, like, you're like, Hiram Crombie, what?
It was, this felt like such an unfocused chapter, but maybe that was on purpose, just because it was trying to really let you know how it was like to be there, because it was just a constant state of motion from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. So maybe that's just supposed to help us feel like what it's like to be on the ridge during this time period.
Why but exactly?
It was super took her unfocused.
Open that damn package? Yes. Yeah,
but
I get it.
It was just so unfocused.
Then Hiram Crombie appears. Oh, fun. He's looking for Jamie. And when everyone was introduced, Hiram was aghast at the suggestion that Mouse is the name of the Cherokee woman who is getting her teeth fixed or teeth pulled, doctored, whatever, her mouth worked on. Hiram is aghast at the suggestion that Mouse's Wilson relative, by the way, her last name is Wilson. He's aghast at the suggestion that Mouse's Wilson relative might have been related to his, Hiram's, wife. He just couldn't. He says, "Great Uncle Ephraim, Jesus save us," and turned and left. So we never did get to see Jamie, at least not right then. Jamie and Ian arrive with the whiskey, and Claire commences this whole thing. The file normally used on horses' teeth.
See? Quote,
and thus, what?
Dr. Pohl!
Yeah. I know. I already said he got it from the...
I know.
The barn.
I know. Quote, I'm just saying.
And thus a little larger than I would have liked.
Yeah.
No, really? And as they all chat about the Uncle Ephraim connection, another Native American arrives with something over his shoulder. And what is that something, Summer?
So here's my question, though. Are we to believe that this is the Sequoia
or just a person who also is named Sequoia who happens to also be Cherokee?
I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know who Sequoia is? Sequoia was like a huge figure in the Cherokee tribe. Like he wrote the Cherokee alphabet.
No.
In writing.
No, I've never heard of him.
Really?
I may have heard the word.
Ugh.
But no, they didn't teach us Cherokee history in school summer.
I can't it's not believe good. That.
You can't believe that I was not taught Cherokee history in school?
A little bit, yeah, because it's like U.S. history. Like the Cherokee, where they
I'm
were the...
I'm not saying it's not important. Okay. I'm saying my education was deficient.
I just swear I had heard about him long before I actually was living on the Cherokee reservation
it's
for two summers.
It's very possible. It's very possible. Since there was very little to connect it to. And if I did hear it, I never heard it again until I read Diana's book, in which case it went in one ear or eyeball and out the other. And then today when I was taking notes for this, absolutely no name recognition. Nope.
Okay.
But when you say the name means nothing to me, I'm not saying it's meaningless. I'm saying I don't recognize it. However, what you say about someone who did write down the language and the alphabet and everything, right? That I can understand.
His little bio, it's like, Sequoia, American polymath. Sequoia was a Native American polymath of the Cherokee Nation in 1821. So this, maybe this is him, I don't think so. It seems like the timeline is bad.
Well, it said he was born. Yeah, he would have been like 6 years old. So no.
Yeah. So, but this particular one, he in 1821, he completed his independent creation of the Cherokee syllabary, making reading and writing in Cherokee possible.
That's very cool.
And he died in 1843. So maybe not. I mean, he was an older person when he did all the things, but he would have been way too young here.
Or maybe seven. So do I think it's him? Probably not.
He says he was born in 1770.
I know. And right, I just said the date of Lord John's letter was 1773. Good Lord. No, he would have been three.
Okay. So it was not. It was not the Sequoia. Okay. Never mind. You've answered my question. Thank you.
So the man who comes has something over his shoulder. It's a canvas full of weathered bones, and including a skull. Now, this man tells them it's the bones of a man who lived inside the home that had been burned down. Told to them, meaning the fact that this house burned down, the first person or the first account they had of that home being burned down was McDonald, right? Weeks or months ago, before that was what spurned Jamie on to actually become that Indian agent, right? So when he heard about the burnings, he went out to talk to as many of the tribes that he could. That's where he met Bird Who Sings in the Morning, where he and Ian went and almost had one off with some of the Cherokee maidens or women. So it's that man it's that burning that we're talking about. And that burning had been inside the treaty line. And that is why that was what instigated the suspicion that it might have been Cherokee who had burned it down. Claire has a hot minute of, oh my gosh, TT. But they look at the molars and we good.
Because that's all that was left.
I know. I know. Like, well, that's true. Well, no, they had some bones, but
No. Those were the only teeth left.
Oh, yeah.
So there were bones, but in the skull, it says most of the teeth were missing and had been missing long enough that the jawbone had closed over the empty sockets. So
it was natural.
Yeah.
This man, Sequoia, had known the man. So when he came around, he probably first met him by just running into him in the forest or near his house. And when he came around, he'd bring something sometimes for the man and something for the pot, and they'd share a meal. Now, one day he found the man's body in the wood, some distance from the house. Now, he doesn't think the man was killed. He just died. He had a knife with him and a gun beside him. So he'd seen no reason to do anything with the body.
No, I'm going to take the gun, though, because that seems like it was too good to leave. He's fine. He's got his knife. But then I'm going to go ransack his house because he's not using it anymore. And I'm going to take stuff and take it back to my village.
He totally did that. Hold on. I wouldn't say ransack. Ransack is not just like going through and taking something.
Okay. Ransack, he lovingly went through his belongings and took the things that he thought would
benefit. It doesn't even have to be lovingly. But yes, I wouldn't use a ransack though. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, okay. He had taken the gun. He left the knife. And then after he left the body, he went, he's like, okay, he's dead, yo. So let's go check out the cabin. So he goes by the cabin. He takes what little the man had of value, an iron pot, a kettle, and some cornmeal. At the very least, the cornmeal makes sense because it was just going to go bad. But, I mean, seriously. Bird had spread word. Bird. The bird spread word. Bird. What is that from?
Bird is the word. It's a song from like the 50s.
Ah, okay. Bird had spread word about the old man whose home had been burned. Word got round. They said, this man is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Just kidding.
1963. Bird is the word. Huh?
Oh, got
the song. It. 60s.
That was Hamilton, by the way. 2016. Since we're dating our works of art here.
Well, I said it was a 50s song and I double checked it. It's a 60s song.
And so I just needed to back up my Hamilton.
You're ridiculous. Move on.
That was pretty good though, Summer. Good going. You helped me.
You're welcome. Me.
Yeah, I guess so. So when Sequoia heard it, when word got around that this was an insane man, took a collection just to take him to the mainland.
Okay,
when
okay.
Sequoia heard it, Bird sent him. Bird sent him to get the man's remains. He's like, nah, you go pick up those remains, man. Took up a collection and he sent you to pick up the remains, man.
No.
Ooh, and take them to Jamie as proof that no one had killed him. Because remember, Jamie had frogged him out. When he went there with Ian, he said, Do you know
anything about the burnings?
Exactly. And Bert was not that happy that he was being asked. But well, now he's like, no.
If you
his sending it, Summer, is like, look, bitch, it wasn't us.
Well, you're right. But I mean, there's no way to politely ask, hey, did you burn this place down? Have you heard anything about people burning things down? And there's no way that doesn't come across as being like, yo. Are you burning people out of their houses?
Yes. As accusatory, yes.
Yeah.
But before he leaves, he tells Jamie, you remember the guns. He's like, oh, that's right. Yeah. Bird had one more thing for me to say. Mm-hmm. They bury the man in their wee cemetery. And as Roger is speaking over the grave, he ends with, Lord, we could mend. Lord, we commend to thy care the soul of this, our brother. And Bree completes the sentence, Ephraim. And he continues, of our brother, whose name thou knowest. Mm-hmm. And there was like a ripple of laughter. Like, I don't think they actually laughed, but there was a ripple of wanting to laugh there. And that, oh my gosh, that's funny. That's maybe not appropriate, but funny. So Claire had to complete dental work the morning after they'd started it because by the time Sequoia had arrived and left, it was too dark for her. So she waited till the morning. And then after they were done, everyone left. And that night, she and Jamie finally got some Wii time.
They played on the Wii?
No, as opposed to me time. Yeah. While Claire never wished to be back in her time, Jamie did wish to be back in Scotland. But he doesn't say he wants to go anywhere, but they were just being honest with each other. And now we're introduced to the legend of the graveyard. He says that some folks believe the last person to lie in the graveyard becomes its guardian. He must stand on guard until the next person dies and comes to take his place. Only then can he rest. So as they look at their land, talk about the place, Jamie says that the next house will stand in that spot. So he's already begun clearing a spot of land. Quote, should anything happen?
Should our house burn down?
They continue their walk. And now that the ice has been broken by should anything happen, it wasn't the idea of them dying that necessarily disturbed them, but the line, quote, no surviving children, that freaked Claire out. And then Jamie says something important. Think, though, it might not mean they're dead. They might only go. So they talk about being married now longer than they'd been the first time. And Claire asks, weren't we married in between? Mm-hmm. And Jamie says, that's a question for a priest, Jamie says. And Claire brings up Father Ansel, and Jamie tells her that Father A really liked her. Huh. Now, what about Jamie? How does Jamie like her? He likes her more now. He says, you fart less in your sleep.
I doubt that. He probably just sleeps through it.
He says, she's fierce. I think you're actually probably, that's more likely. He also says, she's fierce, kind, on her own terms, clean, and not much of a cook. But after they bang in the woods, he says, quote, above all creatures on this earth, you are faithful, unquote. She responds, well, so are you. Quite a good thing, really, isn't it?
He painted her not very flatteringly, which I appreciated because she really is all of those things.
Totally.
She is too proud. She doesn't think through her actions before she does them. Like, it was a litany of list items that I'm pretty sure we've all been saying over the years of the issues that we've had with Claire from time to time, because she is a woman out of her time, but she refuses to live in her time fully because she still wants to be the person she was born as, the person who had the rights she had in the 1940s through 60s. So she still wants to be that person, but she wants to be that person in this timeline, which is problematic.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So what do you think about their, what Jamie says they need to, that's a question for a priest. Do you think they were married in between, or do you think that doesn't count?
I mean, to be fair, she was married before too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A few times.
So, not a few times. She was married.
You don't remember about this, about the guy before Frank?
Ginger, you're stupid.
Stop. He's called pre-Frank.
I'm just saying, at what point are they going to just stop caring about the in-between time? They were both married. It doesn't matter. They're not married. You know, they were married. They weren't married. At some point, is it? I mean, how many times are we going to keep having this conversation?
Until we hit 40 minutes.
No, not us. I mean them.
Sorry. That's funny. You mean Jamie and Claire? Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah. At some point, they've had the conversation and it's done, right? You would think. They've come to a mutual understanding.
Yes. You say we were or we weren't, or you say, look, we don't know. That's a question for a priest or for God, and let it go.
Yeah. But at least they're both bigamists. You know, they've both had multiple.
I think that's partners. The title. At least they're both bigamists. I mean, that's funny.
But
oh, Summer.
I don't know. I'm wondering as he's showing her where the new house is going to be, if she's secretly thinking, why didn't we build the big house here?
The first house here.
I'm like, this is such a great spot.
Is this? Yeah. Like what? That's funny.
And then surprisingly, she's like, wait, why are we building another house? Like that was one way to tell somebody
bring up the conversation.
What do you think of this spot? Because we're going to build another house here. We're building another house.
I wrote it down, or I typed it up. So I think I'm right. They banged, right? Right there in the outside.
I didn't. Let me look.
Because what I was going to say was,
I thought that
didn't they bang in, like, they do it outside a lot, but, or they do it everywhere a lot, but I thought they did it outside here on this new.
I don't think that they christened the spot, Ginger.
That was what I was going to ask. I think they did. Because I did type after they bang.
No, they didn't bang. Because it says hot after the climb. We sat down in the shade.
Yeah. No, at the very end, he says she's fierce, kind on her own terms, clean, not much of a cook. And then I wrote, but after they bang in the woods, he says, above all creatures on this earth, you're faithful.
They didn't bang in the woods. At the end. They were back in their house.
I thought they were still outside.
No.
Okay, well, they banged somewhere, but they didn't bang, and that was the question. Okay, so they haven't christened the new spot.
No.
Well, darn it. They need to get on that. Because if they die in the first fire, they may not have time to christen the second one.
What?
It took you that long to hear what I said?
Because I wasn't listening. Let's be honest. I was not listening. I was scrolling through the chapter to try to figure out why you thought they banged on at the house site.
Because I thought they did.
Clearly. Hang on.
Huh.
Hang on. They're talking. So they're sitting in the shade of a tree talking about time travel.
He shoved me flat in the grass and collapsed on top of me, pinning me effortlessly. But that's when he's teasing her.
Oh, keep going.
Teasing. Gave up struggling. Flat on his back. Tousled hair spread out on the grass. Struggled grunting. Oblivious to pokings. Leg gasping. Legs open and abandoned. Cool so grass around us. So they're not inside. They're under a tree in the grass somewhere. I don't know where.
I think they're still out still in that out area. There?
They
I
could
think,
be.
I mean, I think so. But so I think they rescinded it.
I don't see it. Maybe, but they never really talk about them doing it.
They're doing it is such a part of them that it becomes like an unspoken back. It's like,
because she says, well, all right, another minute and he could have me right there if he cared to. And then he felt me yield inside, letting his own body slacken. He no longer held me prisoner, but simply held me. But then it's like, then he ends with the whole Saint Bernard dog, faithful, blah, blah, blah. And then it doesn't end with him having done it at all.
Okay, so you don't think they banged?
No. I think they could have after the chapter ended, but it didn't happen in the chapter.
Okay, there's no textual evidence of banging.
No, but they talk about it a lot, especially when he shows up and he's like, I've had a kickstand all night long.
Oh, that.
Every time roll over.
Yeah. There's always talk of banging. That's not what I'm saying. I thought they banged there under the trees.
No. It would have, if they did, it was between chapters and off page and not for us to read and recognize the banging occurred.
If they did, it was private time.
Which is strange to me because they're never private about it, really.
Not for us readers, no.
No. No, but you like to censor it out and you're like, and they bang. And moving on.
It's not about censoring. It's about I don't need to talk about how he goes inside her.
Maybe you do. Maybe everyone would feel a little bit better if you would just be more graphic.
Summer, it's not needed. It's there with Davina. She reads it very well. And it's there to read on your own.
And that was chapter 20. Join us next week when we will be continuing our A Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along with chapter 21 entitled We Have Ignition.
Continue the conversation. Like, if our podcast just isn't enough and you just need to be around more like-minded people, please join us at outlanderpod.com/group.
Again, a very special thanks to this episode's co-producer, Alistair H. And if you guys want to find out more about how to become a co-producer, what it entails, and just about any of our levels of support on Patreon, you can find out more at patreon.com/outlanderpod.
And if you, too, would like to have my art on your face or your chest or on a tote or something else, you can go to www.outlanderpod.com/shop to find out more.
And as always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlanderPod.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.